Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
October 21, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this, indeed, is the show you were looking for. How do I know this? Because you're hearing me say what I'm saying. Anyway, Friday night, and it has been a weird week, that's for sure. last-minute cancellations, switches around, can't get a hold of one of my hosts. Anyway, fun. But things have still been coming out. I got a couple of podcasts out just before airtime. So if you've been looking for stuff to listen to and it hasn't been coming out of the network, it is out there now. Anyway, like I say, Friday night. And what do we do on Friday nights? We open up the lines and people can call us and talk about whatever they want. When I say us, I do mean me and my co-host, B-Pete, who is with me. So let me give out the phone number real fast and get this rolling. 319-527-5016. Nobody called the Jack Blood Show yesterday. I think Jack got a little upset. 319-527-5016. If you guys don't call in, see, it's easy on me because I have a co-host. I can just sit here and talk to B-Pete, and doesn't matter. But usually somebody calls in. 319-527-5016. Anyway, that's the number to call, or you can reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. If you send me a message on there, whether you're on my Skype list now or not, I will, well, first of all, I'll welcome you onto my Skype list. Won't necessarily keep your contact, but I will welcome you on. And you send me a message, and I will call you into the show. But otherwise, 319-527-5016 is the number to call. Anyway, B-Pete, we had no conversation before this show tonight. Usually we have a minute or two to talk, but there was no time today. It was 20 seconds and boom, flip it over. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's been a very, very hectic week. We had had some night work to do. So, you know, I'll tell you my little adventure Wednesday. We go in, start our normal day. We're going to be working on lane closures. The only time we can close down a lane on I-95 is at nighttime because of the traffic volume. So, get everything in place and we do what we have to do. Well, during the day, the parts arrived for the water heater that's been out. So I'm eagerly, awaiting hot water in my house. So when I get home, I see the package on the porch. Thank you, UPS, non-sponsors. You should reconsider that. Anyway, I see the package from UPS on the front porch and, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning now when I get home. Come inside, read the instructions. Oh, this is easy. 5 wire nuts. I'm outside at 4 o'clock in the morning on my deck wiring up a hot water heater at 32 degrees. And luckily everything worked. So we are in full operation mode around here. Everything is working fine at the moment until I pick the next piece of plywood on this project. But other than that, it's been a very busy, hectic week. The weather has been absolutely gorgeous. Couldn't ask for better weather.
It's nice weather during part of the day and very cold during the other part of the day for me. So I imagine it's kind of similar for you because we have gotten down to freezing temperatures now in the southeast, which is unusual in October, I think. You know, usually we got to wait for like, I don't know, December or February. One of those two spots is my experience anyway. I haven't lived down here as long as some people, but my experience has been that in December you get cold for a while like this, and in February, October is usually warm. So I wasn't expecting some of the freezing temperatures, but we have had some really nice days where, you know, it's sunny, but it's not hot, and, you know, decent days out. If I was the kind of guy who went outside, I might enjoy it.
humidity levels, you know, where you can go outside and not sweat when you blink. It's lovely.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the other thing. You're not swimming in the humidity at this time of year, so that is a big relief. But either way, it never used to get this cold. I used to laugh at these guys because I would see them, you know, putting on 3-4 layers of clothing when it got to 50 degrees. I'm like, you guys are kidding me. What are you doing, 50 degrees?
This is the fun part of the year where you end up with, like, you know, 9 pieces of clothing in your work truck because in the morning it's, you know, 34 degrees. So you're wearing a flannel shirt, a T-shirt, you put on a jacket, you go out. And then by the end of the day, You got a flannel shirt and a jacket in the back. Well, the next morning, you didn't bring him inside the night before. So you put on another flannel shirt and a jacket, and you go out. And before the week's over with, yeah, you got, you know, half your closet in the back of your truck.
Yeah, you wind up having to bring stuff with you. That's true, because I'm bringing jackets with me when I do go somewhere. And the temperature change, it's like, well, I needed it when I first came out here. Now I don't. You know, but so. It
is absolutely gorgeous. You couldn't ask for it. We usually hit 30s towards the end of October, November. Mm. So we're a little early with the cold, but it's been a wonderful change from this summer because it was pretty hot.
Well, see, for me, though, the Halloweens, remember we started talking about Halloween a couple of weeks ago, which, by the way, if Chris is listening, I'd love it if you called in because I'd love to talk to you during the break because I haven't been able to get hold of you lately. But anyway, because he brought up Halloween, what was it, a week or two ago. And in the South, yeah, we were talking about the trunk or treat and all that, but the weirdest thing for me is that it's warm on Halloween, and it has been warm on Halloweens that I've been here, so I'm not accustomed to this idea.
If you live in the northern part of the United States, you have to adjust your costume to the weather. Like, do I need to wear a coat under this? Do I need to?
Right.
Usually you don't have on here.
Well, you don't have, like, look, there's not a lot of, even when we were kids, you wouldn't see, like, the girls going out as, like, you know, skimpily dressed cheerleaders and stuff, because it was cold, man. You know?
The Brits are the champs on that. You know, when they have their holidays during the wintertime, people dress up, but the women are out there in, you know, short shorts and skirts, and they tough it out. I got to give them credit.
Well, true enough. But I'm just saying that, you know, in the U.S., in the North, like you were saying, you'd see people that really shouldn't be thickly dressed, you know, in their costume, and then they wind up having to put, like, a jacket under it and this kind of thing. And it's a little funky when they're trying to be like, okay, the Dallas Cowgirls, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders were a big thing, like, nationally, I guess, at one point. And, like, a lot of girls wanted to dress that way, I think, when I was in middle school. But it was too funny because it was like, I'm trying to be a Dallas Cowgirl cheerleader, but I had to wear my, you know, my down jacket under. You know, it's like, okay, so what are you supposed to be? A purple Dallas Cowgirl? What are you? I mean, you know, because those jackets are never, like, you know, flesh tone or anything. You know?
Yeah, it's always some electric blue or electric red or, you know, glow in the dark or just basic black.
Right. And that's the other thing is if you got a big, thick, black, again, puffy jacket on, how are you going to pull off I'm supposed to be in my, you know, Dallas Cowgirl cheerleader outfit?
Yes, I'm Cleopatra at the South Pole.
Cleopatra, yeah, if she was in Antarctica. Yeah, sure, okay. You know, or... even weirder, like some of those other things. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, the caveman, like boys trying to dress as cavemen. I don't know if you ever saw that when you were a kid, but the caveman thing. Well, you know, the loincloth is a little, I don't know, undersold when you got, you know, a denim jacket and a suede jacket on, you know.
Yeah, I guess you could put, you know, some of those hand warmer packs on the inside of your loincloth.
Maybe. But then you're sticking your hands in your loincloth, and that causes other issues. I mean, I'm just saying, it's weird, but here in the South... Well, and here in the South, like, let's just say, you know, somebody wanted to dress as, like, a Native American and be bare-chested and this kind of thing, right? You know, they can get away with it usually because it's warm. Frankie went out as a pirate the one year, and you know, it was like, sorry, what?
Pirate's always a good costume.
I thought so. You know, he was a little bit like, he didn't keep the eye patch very long. I wanted him to try working with the eye patch, but I don't necessarily understand people with normal vision. It throws them off. Doesn't bother me, but you know, he didn't want to keep the eye patch on, but it was funny because I remember debating with Kim, like, oh, he's going to need a jacket, though. And I'm like, no, he's not. It's warm out. You know, you're thinking like we still live in Jersey.
Growing up, you're getting ready for Halloween. You're grabbing your, you know, your pillowcase because you weren't going to be fooled by the guys that throw ice cubes in your paper bag. So, you know, you got the good old cloth bag to handle the load. And mom ruins it as you put your coat on. But mom, it doesn't go with my costume.
Yeah, well, there's that too. There's that too. I mean, I didn't go out too much for Halloween, but I remember seeing this stuff and just it was like funny to watch the winter coats and all.
I could see Mrs. O saying that before. He's going to need a coat.
Yeah, it's hot. And that's what I was saying. I was like, he's going to sweat if you put, you know, because she's like, well, we'll put a sweat jacket on under it. And I'm like, no, he's going to be sweaty and hot if we do that. And then meanwhile, you know, there was only like three people that were handing out Halloween candy anyway, like within 2 miles of the place. So I'm just like, whatever, you know, just buy him a bag of candy. I mean, what else are you going to do? And they're already discounting the stuff at the store, you know.
Oh, yes, yes. The retail industry right now is kind of going a little rough. They went through a period where they couldn't get anything, mm-hmm. and people were ordering online. And now when we get back to semi-real life, people suddenly are having to do things and don't have the money to just sit at home and buy online. So now they've got a glut of product they're trying to unload before the Christmas glut comes in. I've seen several pre-Christmas sales where they're trying to unload some of this stuff. So it might be a buyer's paradise this year. You never know. I've heard reports that retail should be good because of the drastic discounts that retailers are going to be given. So
well, that could be to it. So it looks like we have Nature Boy joining us via Skype, and I was a little unclear as to whether he wanted to join, but it sounds like he's with us. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
What's up?
There he is.
Beep, beep. Oh, hold on for a second.
Yeah, we're getting a little feedback from you there, I think.
My bad.
Is he using Jimmy's phone?
No, because
no, had my.
That would be our voices kicking back at us if it was Jimmy's phone.
I'll say, we'll have to add him to the list.
Yeah, well, you're going to go on the list, Nature Boy.
No, I'll tell you what. Jimmy James is. Little feedback ain't shit compared to mine. No offense, Mr. Jimmy James, but if you want feedback, I can give you the feedback. But the problem is, no, I should say the solution is that I can turn it off. But I'm still setting my studio back up right now because, as you know, and the listeners haven't, I'm in the process of moving. And I'm finally at least able to do some basic functions like hang out with y'all on a Friday night, which I'm looking forward to and I've missed. So life is good.
No, I do appreciate it. Yeah, I know you were moving, and I didn't realize it was going to take as long as it has. This is also why we kind of didn't the Wednesday launch like we were going to with the videos and everything, guys, because I really need Nature Boy's help to get that done. I did record video though this past Wednesday. Did you upload that to Rockfin yet?
No, I haven't yet. I need to go through and do some editing on it and stuff like that.
No worries. Yeah, I just recorded the raw video. There, so. I mean,
you know, like I said, I'm still settling.
Yeah. No rush or anything. I was just curious because I haven't looked at Rockfin in a minute, and I had trouble handling the one file because it was too large. I couldn't send it to you through the Skype, so I tried to add you to the conversations to see if you could grab it yourself. And I don't know. That poker app thing, that wasn't my Skype being hacked. That was just, I actually was playing one of those stupid online poker games, just for fun, because I like poker. I like to play cards. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so I was actually
doing
that. It
just seemed weird, you know, when I get something from you like poker, I'm like, what the F?
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah. I don't usually game online very much. I mean, I talked about on the show. I played Magic online for a minute, but honestly, it's just like, I don't know. They welcomed me with some like free chips or whatever, and I had played that game. I don't know, 8-9 years ago. So I was like, why not? You know, and went on there with some free chips, and I've just been playing. So. I shared it with a couple of people, figuring maybe we could like figure, because we had this idea a little ways back with Vance of doing an online poker meeting, like, you know, for ourselves.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah, and like I would still love to do that, but it seemed like a couple of people got interested, and then nobody came back with, well, I've got the place to go. You know, like where we could figure out, you know, how not to spend a ton of money on a casino or something. And just play for like cheap. So is, for like $2, if you wanted to on that poker game, you can have like, I don't know, $200 million worth of chips. So I was just thinking that that might be a way to go, and I figured I'd share it with a few people, see if anybody bit. But
cool, yeah, I'll check. Now that I know it's legit, I'll definitely give it. I'll check it out. Yeah, but I like poker.
But you got to watch that, because people do get hacked, and then they share something stupid with you, where it's like, hey, I've got a coupon for, you know, I don't know, McDonald's or whatever, and you're like, why are you giving me a McDonald's coupon? Well, they're my friend, and you go click on it, and the next thing you know is whatever account you clicked on is hijacked, and
at work, we have a really good security department, and they have regular ongoing, basically they send out fake spam messages, right?
Okay.
And just to see if anybody bites. And if they do, you know, they don't like bend you over the barrel, but they're like, hey, by the way, next time you see something like this, look out for this, look out for that. And never just, when somebody sends you something, if it gives you a funky gut feeling, don't click on the link, man. Go out, go to Google, maybe do some research. Or say you get an email from your bank that says, oh my God, all your money has been withdrawn. Right, never go and click on that link. Go out to the internet, go to your bank, log on normally, and see if it happens. Because from personal experience, I've had a ton of those things. Every time I went out and I went to whatever site that it said it came from, whether Amazon, Apple, blah, 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 you name it, I go out there and I'm like, there's no activity. I haven't bought anything. So, word to the wise.
Yeah, and I get weird stuff all the time, honestly, about like your personal loan has been approved, and like weird stuff like this, or we have your insurance set up for some, you know, whatever, and I forget what they call it now, but basically your arrangements for your death, right? They send me a thing. Like, you know, we have all this set up for you already, and they call you by name in the email, but I don't know if that's like, you know, phishing for business or phishing via a hacker. I don't know, but I always try to avoid that stuff too. And the weird thing is sometimes they come at you with stuff that looks semi-familiar, but, you know, and again, it could be spamming for business. It could be spamming to actually hack you. So you never know which, and you're right. If you know, if you see something from an organization, go out independently and get into whatever it is if you have a relationship with that place. You know, like let's just say it's your bank. Yeah, go to your banking app yourself. Don't click on the stuff from the email, because sometimes that's all it takes. And next thing you know, you got invaders in your computers and stuff. So yeah, hard lesson.
Well, that's why it worked. You know, they're stringent, might not be the correct word, but they're very cautious about security, because for that very thing, you know, somebody gets in innocently through one computer, it could wipe out our whole network,
right?
You know, and that would be, let's just put it like this, 20 years ago we had an upgrade of one module on our computer system, and it was $30 million.
Right.
Right. Well, so, does somebody like me, if I got all my stuff locked up because somebody turned around and just kind of ransomwared my computer, which is another thing, it would really suck, because I would have to sit and debate whether it's worth it to just buy new machines, you know, buy new stuff, buy and get new accounts, because is it worth it? Can I afford it? Whatever. They could really jack me up. And that one hacker got into my database on my website. That was a nightmare and a half, and ended up costing me like $1,000 to fix. And that was through no fault of my own. Yeah, by the time I was done paying for that, it was about $1,000. And thankfully I was able to pay for it over time, because nobody's sending me $1,000 donation, okay? I mean, I paid like $301 shot, and borrowed another $3, and then ended up paying another $3. And then by the time I was done with all of it, yeah, it was about $1,000. So, you know, 300 change.
How long have you been online? When did you first come? When did you first do your first show?
Well, I mean, I launched... Okay, so I launched the online presence of stuff in 2014.
All right.
You know, I mean, I started working on this stuff in 2012 and 2013. But, I mean, when I finally actually put it online, it was 2014. The very beginning of
the year. How long is your archive on the site, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, now it's been stripped down significantly. So it's not that big, but it was massive. It was all the way from then till earlier this year. And it was all there. But, but they corrupted, destroyed a bunch of stuff. And then I also found that they were going to, you know, exorbitantly charge me no matter where I went for storage. So, you know, it was like, I can't afford to pay $300-$400 a month to just pay for the storage. You know, if I could, I would. You know, if I was making enough, I would. But I don't, you know, if I put all that in, I'd have no money for the rest of the bills.
That's a call out to all the listeners out there, the faithfuls. Kick Mr. Ocelli a little bit of money. Just not a lot. Buy him a cup of coffee or something like that. So maybe down the road he can do all that stuff, because I know I've been listening to you pretty much since you came online. And you just have this incredible wealth of guests and topics throughout the years. So,
well, and it's over 2,000 shows of my own, you know, not counting any of the other shows I've produced. And my next move in the archive, I'm probably going to remove the Donald Jeffries stuff just to save space, because, you know, he's now gone from the network a little while, and I'm going to remove Bob Wilson's stuff next. But it's still on the site. You can still search and find it. But pretty soon I'm going to have to remove it, because I got to make space. You know, I got to make space for me and Jack and Aaron.
Yeah.
You know, and Aaron's stuff from... every year that he's been with me is on there, and I think he started in 2018. I think.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. He's been around. He's been with me quite a while, yeah. I mean, he's only once a week, but still, I have all of his stuff from then to now. You know, and that includes at least a graphic and a post and all those other things. That's another thing, is every single show is another post page, which I deleted, I don't know, about 5,000 of them. Because just, you know, nobody was really visiting them anymore. Crazy. I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount of data this was taken up. I mean, they were like, can you get it under 50 gigs, please? You know? and I'm like, okay,
oh,
I'll
50
try.
Gigs. In this, I remember when, you know, because I've been an IT guy from before IT was IT. And when I got my first computer in 1988, I had to pay extra for an SVGA monitor. Mm-hmm. I had 4 megabytes of RAM, and I had 40 megabytes on my hard drive.
Yep.
And I thought, I'm living large. I've got 40 megabyte hard drive. And
that's hilarious.
Got to laugh. It's like, what? You know, I got a zip drive that has 250 gig on it, or a little USB drive with 250 gig, and you had 4 megabytes. I mean, so times have changed. I remember having a conversation about memory about that time. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're, you know, it's like, okay, you know, they're getting towards probably like the 16 megabyte memory and stuff. And he's like, man, what are you going to do if it gets up to like 32 megabytes? What are you going to use that for?
Yeah, well, it's funny as hell, because one of my shows now is just a little over 50 megs, 1 2-hour show, you know, and that's not even at highest quality. That's at about half of what the quality should be, but it's tolerable at, you know, 64 of the bit rate. So, I mean... You know, it's...
I think the ones I generally send you are about 54 megs.
Yeah, right.
Around that range.
Yeah, it's like I say, about 50-something. You know, it's like 50, 55 is safe. If you're looking to give it to me at about 55, if you keep it at 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But that's it. You know, so...
Speaking of Wild Card Wednesdays, I listened to the show, and what'd you think about Ryan?
Well, that
and
was
all the listeners. If you haven't listened to it, you got to listen to this cat. But well, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt, Chuck.
Well, no, it was funny because I actually intended to talk to him about cross-dressing, and you know, like how it is that you decide to do that. Explain to me the thought process, you know. And what it ended up with was, well, wait a minute, you know, like he was a little surprised. I'm not a Trump supporter because this is I've had him on a couple times now. And he's like, you're having me on. You're not a Trump supporter. I'm like, no, I find you to be a fascinating character. And, you know, and I'm willing to listen to what you got to say. And then we wound up having that discussion. Like he kind of, I think he kind of tested to see if I was willing to listen to him and willing to like discuss and think things through, which I did. I made a weird admission on that show where I was like, yeah, okay, I get one of your points about Trump. So, but, it was definitely different. I was intending to talk to him about the cross-dressing thing though. You know,
I'll book him in we for just that very conversation. You know, that's not a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then I wound up talking to him about, you know, what it's like, cause, on a recent show we were talking about, gay conservatives. Mm-hmm. And, I think it was Jimmy who said that, that he didn't believe they existed, or was it you, B. Pete, maybe?
No, it wasn't me. I mean, I know they exist. But I don't understand their ideology.
Okay, maybe. Okay, like so it. You didn't understand it, but was it Jimmy James who said that that was not legitimate or whatever? Like, that couldn't be?
Yeah, because I think somebody said something about, what was it, Lincoln Republicans?
Well, I said the Lincoln log cabin Republicans, which.
Log
cabins. Yeah.
Oh, log cabins. Yeah.
Because that, that's.
To, you know, the support of the gay community and the conservative side of things. I don't know.
Well, but I remember that
organization. Gay doesn't mean that you're. Yeah. I mean, the gay population, and I'm not speaking the LGBT plus, just my experience with the gay population. I've had a lot of gay friends over the years. Mm-hmm. They're like any other population. You're going to have. There's a plethora of views. So you're going to find your Republican view, your conservative, to your liberals. Although, mm-hmm. overall, they do tend to be probably a little bit more liberal, but there's plenty of conservatives. You have. All sorts of viewpoints on it. So that's kind of why I like to bring on Ryan, is to bring out the other side, the side nobody hears about, because the only thing that people are seeing online are these disgusting and some things demonic drag time story hours with kindergartners, you know, and they're doing an adult show. And I'll tell you what, I have no problems with drag shows. I've been to plenty of them, and I've had a great time at them, but they're adult entertainment. Mm-hmm. They're not suited for five-year-olds, just the same way that a strip show and a brass pole should not be in a kindergarten classroom, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. No, but that was part of the discussion, too, where I said, you know, quite frankly, look, when I was younger, it seemed unlikely that any gay person was even welcome into the right side of the paradigm anyway, because they had a very serious sort of moral clause that came forth, you know, the family values thing and all that. And I said, you know, so I get how you're not exactly always welcome, but, you know, how do you suss that out? Explain this to me. You know, how it is, and that was part of the discussion, too, is about, you know, look, there's age-appropriate, there is the freedom of adult people that have the ability to make consenting decisions and whatever it is they choose to do, and how much of, you know, anybody's business is that. You know, him and I had a pretty interesting discussion in that way, so I thought the, you know, the Wednesday show was more interesting from a philosophical position, and I think he was happy, too, because... Everybody wants to talk to him about, you know, the Lady MAGA character, or you're right, you know, but sometimes they don't go so deep on these discussions about, well, give me the real politics. What is the bottom line? So, you know, but, and I just was like, well, let's go there then. You know, you don't get a chance to do it. We'll do it. Plus, I found it really entertaining that he had the Christmas ornaments. Did you watch the video?
I tried to get as much of the show. I was at the dentist, but okay. Yeah, he's going to have little black kids dolls with White Lives Matter. He's going to have little white dolls with Black Lives Matter t-shirts on. I'm thinking, God, that's priceless. And from a gay man.
They're going to hold signs.
You know.
They're gonna hold signs. Yeah, they're gonna be it's as if there's like a white, like it's almost his Lady MAGA character in the white girl, right? And then there's gonna be the black version, and they're gonna each have signs saying that each of their lives matter, and he's gonna sell them on Etsy, I guess. And I was just like, oh, that's great. You know, like
I just thought about something. That would be good, interesting for him, right?
Yeah.
Find another gay man who's a drag artist, right? Mm-hmm. Who's black. You know, and take the two energies and put them together.
Black and white.
Came in my brain, thought I'd share it.
No, look, black and white drag artists come together and they could do, you know, I don't know, Ebony and Ivory.
Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah, I think of the same thing, the modern version of Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah, why not?
2022.
Dude, tell me that wouldn't sell tickets.
Wasn't that Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney?
Yeah, it was.
Well, wait a minute. Wasn't it Stevie Wonder?
Yeah, it was Stevie Wonder. You're right. It was Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, it was Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney. Later on, Paul McCartney did Say, Say, Say with Michael Jackson. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's easy to confuse, but no, Ebony and Ivory, I'm almost certain. I mean, I'll look it up or somebody can, but I'm almost certain that was Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
1982.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I remember this being a kid, and then I think 84 maybe it was, or 83, when Say, Say, Say came out, which was on one of their albums.
Was put out by Paul McCartney, and he had Stevie Wonder feature on it.
Right. No, but the Michael Jackson duet, I think, was like a year or two later. Because they did a thing, too. And it was, I remember the video was the two of them running like a medicine show or something. I don't know. I gotta look that up. It's just weird kind of things in my brain rattling around.
What's the name of it?
Say, Say, Say. Like the word S-A-Y right. Three times, yeah. I think that's what it was called. At least that was the refrain. Because I remember the music.
Yeah, that was 1980. It was next year?
The next year, 83. Okay. See, I had it right. It was 83 or 84, I said, and it was 83. Yeah. And I don't remember whose album it was on. It might have been on Michael Jackson's album. It might have been on McCartney's album, or maybe they shared it. Anyway.
It was. On the lead single to McCartney's 83 album Pipes of Peace.
There you go. Okay, and it was the lead single from that album. And like I said, they had an elaborate video production where they did a medicine show kind of thing together. You know, like one of those, you know, we roll into town and we have the ultimate tonic kind of thing.
Yeah, this, in fact, it was recorded in 82 when Ebony and Ivory came out. It was put on the 83 album, and it was, because their first release doing something together was This Girl Is Mine on Jackson's Thriller album. It was in 82. So they got together in 82, did a song on Jackson's album. The very next year they did it and put it out on McCartney's album.
Right. Well, Jackson's Thriller album contained a lot of interesting collaborations, everything from Paul McCartney to Eddie Van Halen. So... Because Eddie Van Halen is...
You know, I wonder how many kids today have grown up and have heard the Thriller album. Because it was a huge thing when it happened.
Oh, tremendous.
It's huge. $14 million for the video. And at that time, because I remember being a kid at that time, that was mind-blowing. You know?
Well, and it was also a small movie, that video. They had an extended version of it where, you know, he takes the girl to a movie theater and turns into, you know, a werewolf or whatever with the yellow eyes.
Yeah.
And they had, Vincent Price, I think, voice on it, too. I mean, there was a lot of star power combined in that. Yeah.
That the whole thrill, the whole album itself, you know, was such a big thing when it came out. I'm just curious if the youth today has that as part of their, I don't know, music bedrock.
Some of them do. But you're probably leaning more towards the musician band kids that will be really aware of it, I'm guessing. But I'm not a teenager.
Friends of mine my age, you know, it's like watching their kids grow up. You know, our music was always on, so it was a natural thing for them to progress and still follow the bands that, that we knew as kids coming up. So it's a good thing.
But you know,
there'll be more of it out there. Some of the music today is just nothing compared to what we had back. And I know that's every generation says, "Oh, music today is not like it sucks. It's not like it was when we were kids." But you think about the music that came out in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and what it built,
what you needed back then. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, the process and the promotion of music from that time is a completely different animal from today. I mean, if you recall, at first MTV didn't really have too many, you know, everybody points out they didn't have too many black artists on MTV to begin with. And then the next thing you know is, I mean, pretty much it was a black artist that built this monster that MTV becomes. And part of it is exactly at this time. And like I said, massive production pieces and all this that are unthinkable today. And but MTV was a new thing and was something that we saw come in. Now today, you know, it's like, oh, there's a new album out. I probably can find, you know, the video on YouTube or whatever. And you can listen to the music on YouTube right away. You know what I mean? You don't have to, like, wait for it to be played on the radio or go and buy it and take a chance to see if you actually, you know, well, let me see. Should I buy the whole thing or should I buy the single?
You know, it's a, and then before the advent of being able to download singles, you know, it was, you waited for the physical copy to come out in the stores.
Right.
Online wasn't that big back then. And then when it became, I mean, look at what you've got now with, you know, Spotify and other groups that you can just go and either stream, download, whatever you want. I mean, it's a big change. But MTV, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, when MTV came out, oh man, the videos were great, production qualities were good. And I wondered what happened to MTV after, you know, it became non-music. You still see them on the, you know, they still have their cable channels. It's nothing like it was back in the heyday when they started, but their production qualities have moved over to Japan and Korea.
Yeah.
And the videos MTV studios are actually putting out and producing for these groups is amazing.
Well,
you watch some of these videos and it's like, you know, it's a full-fledged movie production. And they've got everything at their disposal digitally.
Right.
And it's just amazing the visuals that they can put out now. And I thought, whoa, MTV's dead. No, they're not.
No, far from it. They're really huge with television production in America still. You know, like even the new Beavis and Butthead series, they're still connected to that, even though Mike Judge has his own studio now. You know, so they still do that. They're still a part of... you know, the Comedy Central family of stuff. They produce comedy specials. They do produce concert films. They do produce, you know, all sorts of musical specials, but also a bunch of comedies and, you know, a bunch of stuff which is efficient from a budgetary standpoint, too. You know, practical joke shows and stuff.
Music video and the music video and the power that it had when it first came out, you know, we don't – it's kind of dropped off here.
Mm-hmm.
But in Europe and in Asia, it's still huge. I mean, it's amazing how much these people anticipate their next group's next video. And they are definitely getting a good product for the money.
You talking about the K-pop movement? I've seen some videos like that. It's amazing.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, the quality of the visuals that they're putting out is just outrageous. I wish we had it back in the MTV's heyday. Mm-hmm. Of course, the technology wasn't there.
The thing about the art back in that day and what it is now, where the technology is back then, you had to have something called talent, right? You know, you really had to be able to have talent to be able to sing, to play your instruments, to make amazing work. And it's the same on the engineering side. With the advent of technology now, I could go into a studio and I can't sing my way out of a wet paper bag, right? And have an engineer, or probably just download an app here, and I could sound like Pavarotti if I wanted to.
Right.
You know, in time, in tune, perfect pitch, perfect everything, and it's just all computer generation. And that's what I see a lot that's happening now. But I will agree, Pete, the technology and what they're able to produce now visually and sonically with the computer graphics, the AI, is pretty impressive, you know?
Well, see, in the early 90s,
yeah,
we had, you know, a real change come when we could digitize things. And that was some seriously expensive investment that somebody had to make in order to get the types of stuff that is, you know, like open source freeware nowadays. You know, that allowed you to clean up sounds and to manipulate them and all that stuff. I mean, honestly, for a couple $100, you can buy anything that can give you, you know, better tools than anybody had in the past 30 years in a recording studio. And at the same time, you can also get the same effects that Hollywood studios are using, you know?
I'll be honest, yeah. A lot of artists out there today on American pop radio that would not be on American pop radio if it wasn't for the simple fact of auto-tune.
Oh, yeah.
You see them live compared to what they're doing on studio productions, and it's a whole nother world. I mean, when you get a group out there that doesn't lip-sync today, it's a rarity.
Yeah, true.
But it's you listen to radio from other... I listen to stations in Germany, some stations from Switzerland online, stations in Korea, Japan, and the type of music that they're putting out, you know, it's a machine over there. Mm-hmm. Maybe not like it is here. But with what they can do for some of these groups, these agencies have gotten together. And, you know, back in our day, it was Thriller. That was a movie production. Mm-hmm. It was handled just like a movie. These guys are pumping this stuff out in a small studio somewhere, digitally editing a thing, coming up with sound that is unbelievable. And the package that they put out now is just, I don't know, it's amazing to me how good some of these things are.
Put them in a live setting, in a concert, unless they had some really good, high-end production equipment, right? If they don't have talent, then what you're going to hear is not even going to be close to what is put onto that music video or put onto that MP3 song that's put out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can look at Axe on, just watch Austin City Limits, you know, on PBS.
I love that show.
I love that show too. I've been watching it so long, but you can tell some of the groups in that setting, that's not, it's like they don't feel comfortable there. They're putting out this bland performance where, you know, you would think, now granted, it's Austin City Limits, you know, it's a kind of a toned down version of everything, but right. Still, you can tell some artists there that it's, they don't feel comfortable in what they're doing because they really go in a totally different direction when it comes concert wise.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing
but
is
then
too,
again, we grew up monsters of rock concerts. We all grew up with Pink Floyd and their visuals and Yes and their visuals. I mean, it's just a concert experience today is a totally different thing than it was when we grew up.
Well, there's having years of doing production work. You have talent in one aspect, which is the musical ability. Can they sing? Can they play their instruments at a mastery level? Then you have a completely separate skill, which is performance skills. Right. And even though they go together, if you find somebody who can master both of them, those are those front people. Those are those Bette Midlers, the Robert Plants, you know, that have mastered the art of performance, because in a concert setting, unless you're going to like a jazz concert or something like that where people are just like musical files, the entertainment aspect is probably even more important than the actual musical aspect to putting on a good show, because it's entertainment. And the goal of putting on a beautiful show is to be able to take an audience out of their world for a couple hours, make them not think about the bills, the life, the job, and let them experience just pure joy and entertainment. That's where the value is. And that comes with both musical skills, but more than that, performance skills.
Well, see, that's why I used to love going to the Ozfests, because it was, you know, all day, and you had a wide range of performers, you know, and obviously, I mean, I've always said I'm a Black Sabbath fan and all that, so I got plenty of Black Sabbath and Ozzy performances, but I got exposed to tons of great stuff, and it was just a lot of fun. I got to say something else about MTV, though, is that they did, you know, that Unplugged series for a while. And to me, that's where you got to learn whether these guys had, you know, real raw talent or not. You know, if they could pull off doing that as opposed to, you know, okay, here's all the production, here's all this other stuff. You know, when you strip it down like that, because when you were talking Austin City Limits, I was thinking the same thing, except I don't think anybody will ever top what Stevie Ray Vaughan did on Austin City Limits. Because
his first performance when he was an addict, or his second performance after he'd been clean, which one do you think's better?
Well, you know, it's really flip a coin for me.
Yeah,
because each one of them has a different sort of, and that's the thing about him, is that when he was messed up, it was good in a different way. You know, when he cleaned up there right before he died, especially, I mean, he gave some of the best performances ever, like in Europe. Was it 88, maybe? 88, 89 in there. Some of the best performances I ever saw on video, obviously. But back then, I was like just amazed when, and it was hard to get a hold of tapes from Germany and stuff back then, but I would get a hold of them and I was like, I just cannot believe that this guy is not, you know, rated as like the number one guitarist on planet Earth at the moment, you know, when I saw him then. And that was just before that helicopter crash and all that. And I'm not a big Eric Clapton fan. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, wrong helicopter crashed. But anyways.
Well, you throwing in a Clapton little segue there.
Sure.
I watched a documentary on SRV, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Mm-hmm. And Clapton made an interesting statement. I have to completely paraphrase it. I hope I don't butcher it, but he said there's a few individuals that walk on this earth that are true conduits for music, meaning that it flows through them like water flows through a river, unobstructed. And Stevie Ray Vaughan was one of those few souls that graced our presence that was a true conduit for music. And this is Clapton talking about this.
Right.
So, you know, regardless if you like him or not, you've got to respect the man's accomplishments and musical things. So that's, you know, it's kind of like E.F. Hutton, dating ourselves. Hopefully, I had no youngins talking. So,
No, I mean, anybody, as far as I'm concerned, though, honestly, anybody who doesn't see that, you know, that Stevie Ray Vaughan was one of the, you know, greatest musicians of the 20th century. If you don't see that, then I don't think you understand what music is. I mean, it's just that simple to me. You know,
there's a few guitarists that have really changed music, and it usually happens about once in a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you had Jimi Hendrix in the 60s. Well, you had Les Paul. You had these pioneers, but really, you know, Jimi Hendrix completely changed the sound and style of popular music. Then you had Eddie Van Halen in the 80s or the 70s, and he completed the same thing. He completely changed how music was made and people looked at their guitaring.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Randy Rhoads, who is probably the most lesser known guitarist, and he did the same thing, but because of what he did, he took classical and blues-based hard rock, you know, Black Sabbath, and melded them together and created the metal sound, mm-hmm. which to this day, rock music is really being kept alive through a lot of these metal festivals mm-hmm. that are going on. And that was a direct result of Randy Rhoads, who, by the way, is my favorite guitarist, one of the most humblest, down-to-earth, fantastic musicians ever walked in the face of the earth. But, you know, really since then, I can't really think of anybody that has changed guitar, maybe, or, you know, like they did.
I'd throw Mark Knopfler in that group.
Knopfler, yeah, he was an amazing guitarist, and he really did influence. But he wasn't like that influence that Jimi Hendrix had, man.
Well, no, I mean, you're looking at when, you know, Knopfler came out, but when he was playing with Dire Straits.
Oh yeah.
He didn't change it. I guess he introduced a new way of conducting yourself on a guitar to the American audience.
Well, he did because he used his whole hand.
Knopfler was an innovator with that. Knopfler's an innovator. I'm sorry. I have to throw in an argument about one thing. And I love Randy Rhoads. Believe me, I do. Honestly, I think that Zakk Wylde has finally matured to a point where he has taken a lot of what Randy Rhoads did and made it go a little further. But Randy Rhoads only had 4 studio albums that the world got, and 2 of them were not very good because it was written to a sound. It was the Quiet Riot stuff.
I've never heard any Quiet Riot albums. I mean, Quiet Riot. Was it like a demo album or something they released?
No, 2 albums that were released mainly in Japan, Quiet Riot 1 and 2, where he's playing guitar on them, yeah. But the thing is, an interesting point about this is that if you pay attention, some of the interesting techniques that Randy introduces are very similar and come out of the same L.A. sound because he was in there with Eddie Van Halen at the same time. The 2 of them developing in the same scene in Los Angeles in the late 70s.
And in competition.
And in competition, right. Quiet Riot was a huge band locally in L.A., as well as Van Halen was, you know, a regional success before they were a national one. Mm-hmm. And weird thing is that, you know, Van Halen breaking into the national scene, partially because they toured with Black Sabbath, oddly enough. Anyway, back to this, though. I'll give you an argument for somebody who took it further after these guys. And it's going to be a weird argument. So, you know, okay. Prince.
I'm a weird guy. Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. You got it right there, man. I didn't even think about that.
Because as a guitarist, I mean, yes, composer and musician and all that, all the way around, okay. But as a guitarist, a lot of people overlook that. Because it's just there's overwhelming production and it's a different genre and, you know, some people don't see it as, you know, rock. It's more of a pop kind of thing. And but honestly, the rock guitar chops that Prince had, damn good. I mean, amazingly good. Yeah.
As a teenager, right? You know, I had the long hair, the Levi jacket. You know, I was a stoner. Okay, and so, you know, it's rock and roll. So for a long time, I was a closeted Prince fan. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to go out to your buddies that, you know, yeah, here's this guy who, you know, Prince. But he was amazing. I mean, I would read articles and find out, you know, when he was 12 years old, he could play 20 instruments. I'd listen to him, his music, how it's composed. I'm like, this cat's way out there. There's no other music like it. And it might not make musical sense to a lot of people, but if you really look at it, it's absolutely amazing. So I'm in the closet.
Well, a deep cut.
And then Purple Rain came up.
Yeah, see, a deep cut on this? I just want to tell you, very, very deep cut. And he did change the way the guitar was utilized in his music. That's why I argue this. But also just as a composer, if you want to examine something really strange, that you're going to not expect to come out of my mouth. One of the Batman soundtracks that he did, the album that was released with that movie, take a listen to that. And yeah, it is, I think it was for that awful Batman Returns or what. I think the Batman movie was not good, but the Prince soundtrack for it is, if you give it a clear, like, just, you know, like, open ear, I think you'll hear that that's very innovative, very intricate, not just for the sake of intricacy, well-composed. And the guitar work that ends up going into it is, again, unique and interesting, and I think was influential across genres. You know, like you said, look, if you were asking teenage me, was I a Prince fan, I'd tell you, hell no. But I recognized, you know, I recognized what was good. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean yeah. Hey, when Fabio shows up in front of you, right, and you're a teenager, you're like, can you deny that that guy's not fucking gorgeous? I mean, he's a beautiful man, just like a beautiful woman would be. Now, you're not going to want to tell your buddies that shit because they're like, you know, they get into that aspect. But it's like, hey, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, but what got me, what finally was allowed me to walk out of the closet, so to say, with Prince, is when we went to see Purple Rain at the drive-ins. Yes, if there's any younger listeners, there's these things called drive-in movies that you would drive your car into with all of your friends, and you would look at a big screen, and they'd give you a cheesy little speaker that was made out of steel. And if you're lucky, they also had one that had a heater, so you didn't have to run your car. And so we're at the drive-in theaters, and it opens up with Let's Go Crazy. Mm-hmm. And then that finishing guitar solo, that blues bass screaming grab you by the balls. Mm-hmm. Guitar solo blew every one of us away in the car. And at that point, I'm like, cool, it's safe to come out.
Right. But I mean, if you listen to, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of the electronica, which would have automatically made, you know, a lot of guys like you and me recoil. Earlier on, you know, the electronic drums and all this kind of stuff, which was almost heresy in music.
Oh, yes.
But again, if you just step back and examine, you know, the ways that this stuff is done, the design of the refrains, the uniqueness of the music, I would say that his influence, regardless of it being pronounced or not, is undeniable. Now, I'm not saying he influenced, you know, a lot of metal guitarists and stuff. But, you know, anybody in rock who didn't say that, you know, they played it differently after this guy put out his catalog, I can't see how that's possible, because he just did things differently. It's like Stevie Ray Vaughan, who, again, you know, has taken B.B. King and has taken Robert Johnson and has taken a lot of this stuff. And even Jimi Hendrix, you know, because he did a hell of a version of Voodoo Child, you know. You know, taking all that stuff, he takes it into a slightly different direction, and like you said, it's a unique flow that comes through him. And you got to give credit also to the solid rhythm sections that he had, which were very simple and stripped down. But the way that he played against them, and the way that he flowed with them, is something that, again, is unique and changed the music. You know, like Eddie Van Halen, like. And like Randy Rhoads, too. I mean, the classical aspect, I don't think, would have ever been added back into hard rock without Randy. You know, a lot of
and
that...
created the metal sound. I mean, if you look at metal even to this day, the reason why there's that distinct sound is because the influence of the classical notes. Because
right.
If you listen to, like heavy Mozart, and you listen to heavy metal at the time, I'm talking about metal so much, you notice a lot of similarities, right? That deep, minor, brooding tones, these things that share in common, but these were written and are different styles 100 years apart, but you put them together, right? It's like rock and roll. You know, there's an old saying, I'm an old blues fan, right? Blues had a baby, and they called it rock and roll. so it's just an influence and building of and a mixture of other genres that can create some amazing music, you know?
Well, you know, it's much like the Motorhead thing where, you know, everybody knows Ace of Spades and all that, but if you take a listen to a lot of the other stuff that Lemmy did, again, primarily a bass player, but, you know, there's another guy who changed the music and really did, but at the same time, steeped in the blues roots, whether, you know, I mean, again, you're not going to hear it in Ace of Spades so much. You're not going to hear it, you know, Iron Fist and Orgasmatron. But if you take a listen to almost anything else he did, there's a ton of stuff. And of course, he did a lot of cover tunes and things like that. But again, very, very deeply rooted in the blues. And, you know, one of those weird things where it was okay to even be into punk music and metal music and like Motorhead. But not a popular band with the ladies, gotta say. You know.
Neither was Rush.
No, but, Rush also, know. Same kind of thing. You see, now there's another one. You know, could you say that the combined efforts of that group, and I'm not a huge Rush fan, by the way, but they changed the music, though. You know, you can't
they
say.
Took, yeah. They made music for the intellectual geeks, and they made amazing music. I mean, you had Neil Peart, one of the world's greatest drummers, and every great drummer will say, who's one of the greatest drummers? The first thing they're going to think about is Neil Peart.
Yeah.
You know, you got Geddy Lee, who had a unique bass style, but my God, the timing on that man's phrasing was incredible. Plus, he could play foot pedals, keyboards at the same time, sing, and then tap with his fingers on his effing bass. And it was perfect and intricate. Then you had Alec Lifeson, who I think is a highly underrated guitarist. Put those three together, you have a powerhouse that is difficult to beat, really.
Well, and here's the thing. The only thing that beats that powerhouse, to my mind, is the combined, what should we call it? The committee that became the band Yes. Because there is again another game changer, and there were other bands, you know, that did similar kinds of stuff, but you know, between Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, and Howe, and all the rest, Squire and everybody who came through there.
Squire was an amazing bass player, dude. You know, holy crap, that guy was amazing.
Well,
listen to A Roundabout.
I think you're thinking of Billy Squire. I'm talking about Chris Squire, who was a guitarist.
Chris Squire, the bass.
I think he's a guitarist.
Chris Squire was the bass player for Yes. Howe was the guitarist.
Oh, okay, I might be mixing things up. Howe
was guitarist, Squire was a bass player.
Well, either way, that was one of the first major, like, large concerts I ever went to go see was Yes. And I saw him on the 90125 tour, and they were calling it 90125 Live or something like that. But it was, you know, the tour where they did Owner of a Lonely Heart. They put that out as the single. There's an early MTV thing.
What, 82? Yeah, I was in Germany when that hit. That song was huge in the discos over there.
Yeah, okay. I bet. But I'm just saying the combined efforts, regardless, right there, to me, that's the thing where it's like you got two Rushes put together without an issue, because there's so many guys doing that. And you got amazing keyboard work there, which...
Well, Rush, after Yes, I mean, they took what Yes had started with and kind of built on it and went off in their own offshoot. You know, the 2112 album is probably one of the best albums ever been put out there. You know, I'd rate it right up there with Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
It's funny. I saw them on albums, that tour also.
If I was on a desert island and I had 10 albums to bring with me, 2112 would be in that collection.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
That was all. I also
Yes, Yes songs, excellent albums. And you look at the talent that split off from there. Look what Rick Wakeman did. You know, he left, came back, left, came back. He's still out there putting out music. It's just the amount of music that those guys were able to produce is amazing compared to what we're hearing today on pop radio. There's no comparison. There's really no comparison at all.
No, there really isn't. But it goes back to what I said in the get-go. You had talent back then, and you had to have talent.
Right.
There was no way around it.
Well, listen.
Now you don't have to have talent.
Yeah, listen. I've been over an hour now, live on air, and just lost track of time having this conversation. Wanted to note that Christy Aphrodite stepped into the chat room, and the reason why we didn't do a show this week is Christy kind of forgot, and so she was busy dealing with the freeze there at the Ozarks Church of Nature. But she will be back on this week coming up. So on Tuesday we'll get Christy Aphrodite again. But we're over an hour, BP. Yeah. What were you saying, BP?
Sorry, her to call.
Yeah. Well,
I was asking, is she still?
Yeah. No. If she wants, she could call in. Yeah.
Yeah. She never calls in. She joins us in the room.
No. She called in the one time. I know she called in once.
Call in. Yeah. I'd like to talk to her. I really would. I need some health advice, by the way. Naturopathic health advice.
She may be busy with animals and plants and everything else. You know, the freezing has calmed down a little bit, but she had to protect all that earlier, I think. So that was going on. But I think we should take a quick break, though, BP, because I don't know about you, but I could use a drink. I gotta go get me a drink. So that all right? We take a little break and then come back and see if anybody else wants to call in. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
Plus, I want to kind of turn over the rest of the show to you to let you run it because, I'm good on this week. It's been a weird week. So you guys can join the conversation, though, you listening live out there, 319-527-5016. That is the number to call. Or you can do like Nature Boy did and send me a message on Skype. I am Charles.Ocelli on there. And if you ask me to, I will call you into the show. But otherwise, I'll just sit here and talk to Nature Boy and BP for the next, at least an hour on the Ocelli Effect Friday Night Open Mic. Stick around. We'll be right back.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
Ocelli.com.
Callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Go ahead. ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Support Chuck O'Chilly and Chili.com.
There's no money in it, so...
Yeah, that is
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And, you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model, too, and look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you. They love you to death, but honestly...
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this, too, because, you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the O'Shelley Effect.
Friday night open mic live on Ocelli.com, and this is the Ocelli Effect. So, just letting you know that we have had a caller join us via the call-in line, which is at 319-527-5016. We're going to bring them right on the show. And also, we have yet another caller besides Nature Boy who joined us via Skype. We have Christy Aphrodite on the Skype as well. But my co-host B. Pete is with me, and you're listening, but you could join in the show. 319-527-5016 or charles.ocelli on Skype. So, B. Pete, I kind of want you to run most of the show for the rest of the time, if we could, because it's your turn, and we killed over an hour just talking music mostly. But that was easy to do. But I'd like to get to this first caller, if you don't mind, unless you got something else you want to take care of here.
No, go right ahead. Bring him on in.
All right, so you are live, and let's see how this sound works out.
Hello.
Mrs. O.
Yes, sir. How's it going?
There we
it's
go.
It's good. We've missed you.
They were just asking about
you
before.
Thank you.
Yeah, they were just asking about you before you called in. They said, you know, we haven't heard from Mrs. O in a while, and B. Pete said, is she out door dashing? I said, yeah. So, you know, that's where we're at. I see Frankie came home, though.
Yeah, I'm dodging bullets.
Oh, boy.
Dodging bullets in the neighborhood tonight, so I'll be home sooner than later.
Are people getting shot in Macon tonight? What's going on?
Every night.
Okay. Anyways.
No fear. Oh, Kevlar vest by Christmas. Okay.
That would keep be going. Good. Yeah, and actually, you could just
but
get...
make it fashionable. We need a fashionable Kevlar dress. Or, you know, vest.
Nature Boy is lobbying for a dress.
I don't want one, but Mrs. O... you got to give her stuff that looks good. Come on. She's a lady.
Well, I'm going to start carrying now that Georgia has the no permit law. Mm.
Yes. So, if we wind up with enough money soon, yeah, our next actual purchase outside of our daily needs will be a firearm, another one, because we need to have firearms in the house and in the car, I think. So it is what it is.
Good
what a way to live.
Good insurance policy. That's how I look at it.
There you go.
Hope
so,
to God you never need it.
That's right.
If you need it, thank God you have it.
So, Mrs. O, any updates you want to give? You know, your thoughts. New callers get the priority on stuff they want to bring up, so it's up to you what you want to talk about.
Well, I don't know what you guys are all talking about, but we do want to do a show, if anybody's been watching or has watched that Netflix special, Dahmer. I'm telling you, I've been deeply disturbed by that movie. That, like, bothered me to my core. Because I knew about it. I knew about the story and everything back in the 90s, but I didn't really know about it, I guess, until I watched the movie in detail. I'm just totally disturbed by it. For many reasons, not just because of what he did, but because of the failure of the system and other things. It bothered me a lot.
Mm. Yeah, the story of Jeffrey, the story of Jeffrey Dahmer, and lately Mrs. O does not feel like she wants to eat meat due to that.
Which isn't bad. I mean, it's okay. I can do, you know, portobello mushrooms all day long. But there's a whole lot there's a whole lot wrong with that whole from beginning to end. Lots and lots of failures. And it's just disturbing.
Yeah, so, you think about
sooner
it.
Later, we'll do a show on it.
are a failure of systems that allow them to happen. You know, you look at all of them. I mean, most of these things we find out later, they had contact with agencies that could have done something if they had seen something or paid attention. It's just a shame that, you know, we rely on systems that fail us.
Every day.
Constantly.
Fair enough.
I mean, we're dealing with something that I won't mention. I won't mention any names, but Chuck and I are dealing with a child that needs to be rescued. And I'm trying to get information as to how to do it so she ends up in our care and not in a stranger's care. And it's, again, another failure of systems over and over again.
Well,
and what is it going to take for these systems to be corrected? I mean, it's not like you don't have the funds. It's people just don't give a shit, is basically what it comes down to, is it's just a job. Mm. At the end of the day, it's a job. And they need people in there where it's more than just a job, where you actually care about what you're doing, because what you're doing affects another human being's life.
Well, having worked in several state agencies, a lot of that comes from people who look at their job as a retirement. The only problem is they start their retirement before they finish the job. And, you know, that's their daily attitude. Hey, I'm just here to make 30. I don't care what happens. You know, it's just another day, just another thing. Instead of thinking about what it is that they're there to do.
Well, I think that
do it.
It also it's the crab in the barrel theory. And I've worked in government as well. You know, if you're a high achiever and you go up into government, right, you're going to disrupt everybody else's mojo. So it's like the crab in the barrel. You put a bunch of crabs in a barrel, and one tries to get out. And just as soon as he starts to get out, the other ones will pull him back down. And if another one tries to get out, they'll pull him back down to the bottom of the barrel. And that's how I've seen a lot of government work. You know, they're, like you said, Pete, they're there to do their 30. They show up. They do what they have to do. If they don't have to do anything, all the more better. And after 30 years, they get their fat retirement and they get their RV and take off on their tour of America.
Well, I'm sorry, but
I'm gonna be honest.
Crusader idiots that come in there with enthusiasm a lot of times have really done me a lot of disfavors over the years, to be honest with you. And quite frankly, working outside of the system seems to be the only systematic way to approach it, because I've seen some of these younger people that are not close to retirement, that are not looking to retire, but come in there with these idiotic ideas about how it is they're going to do things, and they have honestly caused me nothing but heartburn over the years systems like this.
I've seen that with people coming in, you know, these zealots that are going to come in and they're going to change the system. And it's like, no, if you're going to change the system, you have to first understand how the system works to be able to change it.
It just
can't just come in, you know, firing cannons at everybody.
It just seems to me that people need to be more responsible about handling their own business and not asking the nanny government to do it for them. And if that happened, it would be a lot more efficient. But, you know, and they would only be there for extreme circumstances. That's the way it should be run, I think. But anyway.
Well, if it were up to me, I would just go kidnap this child and be done with it, and they'd never see her again.
Yeah, but then.
I'm all for that.
Then that'll put us into another system, you see.
But it's against the law.
So.
Right. And, you know, I'm running from the cops for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So that's no way to live.
Yeah.
I need to hide out here.
You know, you have to work with the system.
Yeah.
As broken as it is.
Yeah. Anyways.
But anywho, on that slide.
On that note, let's get to Christy before we run out of time, because Christy Aphrodite called in, and both of these guys basically asked, one on air and one off air, for both you and Christy to call in, Mrs. O, and they got their wishes. So here we go. Christy Aphrodite, are you done wrestling
Christy
with your animals?
Christy and I still have the mojo going, even though I haven't talked to her in a while.
I have nothing important to say. I mean, everything around here is just, I can't even use words to describe, but You know what? I should apologize publicly. I screwed up Tuesday big time. I have not stopped thinking about it since, because I did that. I know Chuck tried to cover for me or whatever, but I had my very first no-show ever, and I feel terrible, and I'm sorry, and working 21 hours a day with the freeze is no excuse, because, like, even on Sunday when I found out it was going in the 20s, and I had hundreds of plants up to 10 feet tall, and had to build the chicken coop inside the greenhouse so they don't kill them all, I knew, I'm like, oh my God, I better contact Chuck, but I didn't have time to eat, let alone turn on a computer, and it was terrible, and I did my best, and I lost some, but, yeah, so, yeah,
things
like
happen.
I said, I have nothing important to say, I'm just focused on work, but I am super sorry for committing my first no-show, and I hate that, and I just can't even believe I did that, and I'm sorry, Chuck.
Listen, I am not upset about it. It's okay. I realize
I did not even remember it was Tuesday. It was like 7:38 when I looked at my clock, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I ran to the computer, you know, turned it on right away. I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I'm still working.
No, it's
so
it's
sorry.
Okay. Look, not a big. We were dealing with a bunch of stuff this week too. We just finished giving rounds of IVs to puppies. You know, trying to hydrate them. You know, and all three of them survived. So, you know, that's good news there.
Good. Good puppy news then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, look, and we had our hands full. I didn't know what day it was a couple of times because we were getting up to alarms, like giving dogs shots to try and deal with Parvo, which I'm fairly convinced killed the other two dogs a few months ago. And, you know, it's just...
I'm surprised you've had some survivors. Usually when Parvo hit, it wipes out the whole brood.
Well, but we literally sat there every 6 hours giving them IVs. My main job was to hold them down while Mrs. O administered, but we, you know, worked together to administer that and medications for the past, I don't know, what was it, like a week? You know... They're now trotting around and bouncing around again and eating.
Oh, good. So, good.
Right, Mrs.
Oh,
O?
That's awesome. I'm glad you were able.
I would not have been able to handle.
Sorry.
I couldn't handle bearing three more babies. I couldn't do it.
Well, no, because you got to remember
I lost my Napoleon.
We buried three puppies, right?
Everybody knows my sweet boy.
We buried three puppies, and then we buried my little buddy, you know, Bonnie, and then we buried Napoleon. So, honestly, it's five little dogs out there. The three puppies didn't make it through birth, but Bonnie did, and she got wiped out, Napoleon got wiped out, and then these puppies got sick, and it looked like at least one of them was on their way out. And it was too much. So, I mean, we did what we could. And kept them alive.
Excellent.
Thanks to my mother for paying that vet bill. They would have died if my mother didn't pay that bill.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, she
that
had to
is
do.
There's
no
awesome.
Way. There's no way.
But we did the work at home. I mean, the vet saw the dogs for, you know, 10 minutes. We did the work at home. Every 6 hours do this. Every 12 hours do
right.
that. So, you know, that's what we did. Thankfully, yeah, we got them all through it.
Awesome. And just so you know, like, if something like that happens in the future, now you know what it looks like, right? So you can treat it right away, and you can get all of those medications at a feed store. Mm-hmm. For a way better price from the vet without the vet bill.
Right, right. Well, there was that, you know, but...
No, you needed to go and do that, right? Yeah. And now you know what it is, so if you see those symptoms in the future, then, you know, you can handle it, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. I am so grateful that we're not hearing bad news. I did lose a chicken, completely unexpected, don't have any idea how or what or why, but yeah, you can't lose any more puppies.
No, that's enough. And I showed the guys on camera during the break, I showed them Buster, who is the only boy out of them. And currently kind of my favorite. You pick him up, he licks your face. He's like nuts.
Aww, puppy kisses.
Yep. So, there you go. Anyway.
All right, so who has good news? We're all completely overworked and exhausted. And, yeah, is there good news anywhere in the world?
Well, you know, that's it. That's why I wanted to make sure we reported on the puppies surviving. You know, so...
Right, yes. That's good news for sure.
So, Mrs. O, how's the deliveries going?
Not too good right now.
Okay.
Do you love your job?
Oh, I got one. Not really. I got one, so I gotta hang up.
All right. You go do that, and
all right.
I'll see you in a little while.
Connect me. I'll talk with you later.
Exactly. I'll see you in a little while.
Okay.
99, Mrs. O.
So
I swear that has to be like the best job to have, because when people get their food, they're happy. You know, my last real job, it was delivering pizza, and it was like the funnest job ever. You know,
no, you were enjoying that, I thought, and then I don't know what went on, except that you needed to dedicate your time over there. So, you know, but. it's a good thing. Delivering food, I don't know. It's a good thing. It's just this city's a little rough. So
right. There were people I delivered to, like, straight up hood, and I mean, they would have guns on them and their pizza. It was I don't know. They were happy to receive their pizza every damn time. So
No, listen, because the guy's got an AK in the corner of his hotel room. I mean, he's not looking to shoot me when I show up with his bag. So, I mean, it's all good.
food delivery, you get to see a lot. But generally, yeah, like if I lived in an area where I could have a job delivering food again, I would totally do it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyways. BP, where shall we go now? We got, another 28 minutes if we go to the two-hour mark tonight. We didn't plan for anything beyond that, so that's what we'll do this week. But we might expand the Friday night show a bit coming up. I haven't gotten too many ideas in from you guys, but if you want to email me and let me know. Or if you want to go to B Pizza website, his links are always in with the show notes, and email him any ideas. It'll be the two of us that decide what to do with the rest of Friday night, since Aaron's show moved to Sundays. So, you know,
well,
let us know.
Always do a Friday poker game, something I'm thinking about. Now, this is why you'd have to involve your cam and I'll be able to play it. But
okay.
Basically, everybody has their deck. And Chuck, I know you collect Ace of Spades, and also we'll send you a new deck that you could open on camera.
And, on Rockfin, we can stream live.
Right.
And
well, I was going to say, you know,
think that what we do for the listeners, so it's just not them going, they could actually watch the game, is all the players I could put on smaller windows and then share my screen, which will be the picture of the table with the actual game going on.
Right, but...
I am totally in.
Yeah, I think so. I think I can do
everybody
that.
Has, and depending on whatever game you're playing, you know, if you're, let's say you're playing Texas Hold'em, okay, everybody's got their own deck. You, everybody watches everybody shuffle their deck. They set it down in front of them. It's in view. You basically are dealing to yourself. Everybody is dealing off their shuffled deck. You get some interesting combinations that way.
But that's not real poker. That's not real
next
card.
Oh, yeah, it is. When you figure out how you're going to be betting on somebody else's deck, it really adds another twist.
Because when you do, it's weird.
It's like you, when you do your lay down in the center, whoever's the next person in the round, they flip the first lay down card. Second person flips the second one. Third person flips the third one. Then you start betting. And you just round robin and dealing that way. It's a way to play remotely and still have a decent game out of it, because now you're playing with five decks or however many people are.
I could see that if you have more than six players. I can completely see that.
We need at least five.
I have a brand new deck.
I do regular poker games, and we've been doing it for 10 years. And we play nickel, we have $5 buy-in, right? It's the funnest $5 that you'll ever lose in your life. It's just a reason to get together.
We would do it virtually. Everybody, you know, would be betting whatever set amount that we're going to set it at, but we keep a running tab of who's totaling out what. You know, when you zero out, you rebuy in. You show your deficit and what your winnings are to even it out with the bank, but I mean, it's a way to keep points.
Well, I think from a production standpoint, I think we can give it a try. I mean, we might have to get together offline and kind of do a little test thing, but I think I can get it to where the listeners can all see us streaming, so they get a picture of all of us. And if you don't want to put your face up and do video, you have a little icon picture. And then in the middle of the screen, we have the card room, just as like I would be seeing all of your hands. So if the listeners wanted to, they could actually just maybe go to Rockfin and, you know, we'll throw it out there for free to see if they like it and maybe get some good suggestions. And who knows? Then it's like,
only problem you're going to have there, Nature Boy, is this. You're going to have to use that StreamYard.
I'm killing StreamYard and find something else, and this is the only reason. Functionally, it works great. I love StreamYard. I hate having to go, okay, log in, click, oh, we'll send you a code to enter in.
I know, but remember,
and it takes
we
five effing minutes. And then if you I'm going to go over there and make myself a little bit of tea, and you come back and you take the code and you put the thing in when it finally does. Oh, the code's expired. Resend the code.
I understand, but they told us, if you remember, that that's the only thing that really works with Rockfin is StreamYard. Because remember I was saying, well, can't we just use the Skype? And they were like, no, you got to kind of use the StreamYard to do it live.
Okay,
I need to email Matt.
I have a question about the poker game.
Okay.
Yes.
Wouldn't the camera, each individual's camera, have to be at least on each individual's decks, right?
Yeah.
To, like, keep integrity of the game. I'm not saying because somebody here would cheat, but I know that that's what people who are watching would want to see, right?
Right.
The camera is just so you can see our faces.
Not a way to show your deck and you in the same picture. It wouldn't be hard to do.
Right. Well, it would be, but we'd have to kind of figure a way, wouldn't you? Or keep our hand. I don't know. Like, would our hands have to be up by our face, like giving funny faces, or, you know, so that people know we're not touching our deck or stacking it or whatever.
We're playing online. This is a virtual thing. We all log into an account and we have a game. So we see it online, virtual. There's no real holding decks or anything. It's not real world.
Oh, I thought you said we would all have our own deck.
That's what BP was saying, is that we could do it with each of us having a deck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
I don't know. The virtual thing might be interesting. Good.
No, I'm just spitballing. You know, that's one way that you can do the poker game. We've done it. I've done it before, and it's just that, you know, like my cam. I've got an old Logitech here. You can just set it there on my desk, and it's got a wide enough view. It'll show my deck in front of me and show me while I'm playing. Nature Boy wouldn't have to see everybody's cards, because if you fold, you're throwing your cards down anyway in your discard pile.
Are you talking about doing online games that we all log into? Okay, yeah, then we're looking at the screen.
We log into whatever, like Skype. I mean, we do a conference where everybody's camera is on the screen for people to view.
So what you're talking about is we're going to do it virtually, but we're going to play in with our own decks. So
yeah.
The camera, you know, I like that analog idea, man. I really do.
And you then know, because the dealer or whoever, right, that would be the bulk of the card. We would only have our two face down, and then if we stay in the game, then three cards, right? So
No. Just like you have your chips in front of you, you have your cards in front of you face down.
Might I interject? And
everybody is dealing. Everybody participates in dealing.
So then it's like five different games. We're not all playing with the same card.
No, you're playing the same pot, but you're turning cards. Just like when you deal poker, okay? Let's say we're playing five stud. I deal around the table till everybody has five cards, right? Then I set the deck down. First person says, I'll open. Everybody bets. All right. If there's any raises, you do your raises. And then when it's called, the first person to the left of the dealer says, okay, I want two. He discards two. He turns over two cards.
From his own deck, right.
From his deck that we watched him shuffle.
Right. Okay, but so if it's Texas Hold'em, though, everybody has the four mutual cards and only our three cards. This is how you do that. It's just card stud.
I deal two cards off my deck face down to me. Nature Boy's next. He deals two cards face down his deck to him. All right. There's your hole. Now we're back around, and Nature Boy would flip over one card and put it in front of his deck. That's the first turn card.
For all of us, though.
That's the security card. Chuck turns over the second one. You turn over the third one.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
Then, come for that last card, and you deal it to yourself down. Now, by then, somebody's folded. Somebody else has folded. We've had a couple bets. Those are down to two people that are in the pot. You know, they're dealing to themselves. And you got to show to win.
Right.
So it's there. You see, whoever's Nature Boy putting this thing together wouldn't have to see everybody's cards. He could still play.
I love it.
It's a simple way to do a poker game between a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
And to really be interesting, I played it where everybody had three decks and shuffled them. So everybody's got three decks stacked in front of them. Just like when you go to Vegas, they're using a seven deck shuffler. So it's a way to do it. I mean, we'll practice one round. We'll get together on a Saturday or whenever you've got a free time. Everybody Skype in, and then we'll figure out how to do this.
No, I've got I've got sealed decks of cards ready. I mean, I already have them, so that's not a problem.
Okay. You know what deck of cards I have?
When you flip the first ace and it's got your signature across it where you get ready to send it to somebody.
No, that won't happen. I have them literally, like, you could watch me open the sealed decks and all that stuff. I have a box of 12. I'm not kidding. I have a box of 12 red and blue mixed.
I have a deck. I hope I can still find them. Hopefully y'all remember on the first Desert Storm, the the deck of cards that they had for the Iraqi kill list.
I have one of those.
Where Saddam Hussein was the ace of spades.
I have one of those.
I have a deck of those cards somewhere.
I have one of those still sealed, too.
Mine's been used, but sealed. Dang. That's nice.
I have one that's still sealed.
Sick,
yeah.
Nice.
I have that. I like playing cards. So, yeah, you know. You know,
I have mine. I haven't set them up in my studio, but if you ever noticed, every time I'm on video before, I have that sound panel behind me that's that red plaid Scottish-looking thing.
Yeah.
And if you look carefully at the top of that, that's where I have all of your cards sitting.
Oh, okay. I never knew that. But
exactly. I love subtleties, and that was one of my little subtleties.
Cool. I counted up. I have 900 and something aces of spades, all unique. But
that's why I said
it'd be hard to play poker with Chuck, knowing that, right?
if
he always ends up with like four aces, or if we play with multiple decks, five aces of spades, and we know what's up.
But I've got a 12 pack of unopened, very plain sort of cards. Okay, so
yeah, we'll see.
Well, we'll be counting aces.
Yeah, of course.
I love it. And that now, are we all going to have our own chips or coins, or are we going to like actually type in our bets?
I don't know. Use toothpicks as a dollar and play, you know, it's just strictly dollar bets, $1, $2. I mean, we're keeping a total to see who's in first. It's not like, you know, I don't have chips available. I used to have chips. I don't know what happened to them. I think all my drunken friends took them. But, no, you can come up with anything and use it as a monetary device. Buttons, dimes.
First of all, this is a box.
You're playing. That's huge.
This is a box of playing cards, okay? Totally sealed. All right? That's 12 packs. 12 packs of playing cards. I'm showing these guys on camera for those of you listening. And also...
I saw it.
And also... There's my little poker chip set. Okay?
Nice.
So, just saying. I'm ready.
You know, okay, here's a way to do the monetary thing is do chips. But one person, probably have to be Chuck because he's got the chips, could we have it? Will it require a separate camera for just the chips? And you keep everybody's chips in a pile.
Sure.
And then whenever somebody wins, right, then whoever, Chuck, well, I'm just going to use as an example, will take that money physically that's in the pile. And then they'll take them and just put it into that person's pile. And we'll just see who has the biggest stack of chips at the end of the hour or something like that.
Mm.
I mean, completely analog. But it would require, you know, logistics and stuff like that. But there has to be a monetary exchange, I found, with poker.
So how are we going to do that?
Well, we could always... I like the analog approach. We'll have to figure out one way of being the master of the chips. And you know, I could always go buy a set of chips. I don't have a set of chips, so they give me a good excuse to get some basic chips. And then if we have a master of the chips and a dealing method like BP is talking about, I think it can work. I really do.
Well, mine are basic. Mine are basic chips like that, see? So there's the red one.
Well, I was going to your idea of one person handling the chips for everybody. I mean, basically, they got a pot, and then they got five piles around the pot for whoever's.
Right. So I say I master chips, okay? We're looking at it, and Christy, you go, okay, I'll raise you 20 cents. You know, say blue chips. We'll call them whatever. 20 cents, $20 million fucking dollars. Doesn't
white,
matter.
Red, chips. Blue.
And then Right, exactly. And
quarter,
go boom,
or
boom.
Nickel, dime, quarter.
Right, but it has to have a monitor. You know, exactly. Nickel, dime, quarter. That's how we play. It's the funnest $5 I've ever lost in my life. And put them out there. And then at the end of the game, whoever wins it, the master of the chips just takes those and puts it into your pile because you won the game and stacks them up. And then somebody else goes and does another game and another round. And then the master of chips takes that, watches them. And it'll have to have it, I'll have to figure out a way to put a separate camera or a way to include a camera it, for just the chips and then takes them away. It's like the organic, excuse my paraphrasing, Anglo-Saxon refuse basic way of doing video poker. It's like nothing else anybody is doing right now. Because
I know, I love it. Except for the fact that you're talking about it live and then somebody's going to launch their project next week.
Somebody will do it.
What do you think about it? Nobody steal our idea. Please don't steal our idea.
Oh, if I had a nickel, a nickel quarter dime or whatever every time somebody stole an idea.
Let them. They want it originated here on the Ocelli effect this day.
I love so scroll. It.
We have the recording with right. a true date stamp on it. So it's like the modern version of taking an idea, putting it into a registered letter, mailing it to yourself, and leaving it unsealed with a date on it.
And it's Friday, October 21st, 8:52 p.m. Central Time right now.
Right. And after the defamation precedent with Alex Jones and now Kanye and stuff, you know, you can sue for anything. So it's like, yeah, we got the proof. You defamed us because you did. All you got to do is include defaming. Oh, okay, we want 35 million.
Tell you what I'll do is at the end of this conversation, I'll put the recording in the Skype conversation between us because we're all on Skype, and you guys can grab your own separate one, which are all time and date stamped. So it'll be the complete 2-hour recording, and every one of us will have a copy just in case because I flush things out all the time. And I mean, I'm going to post this as a podcast, but you know, sometimes I lose my original files or whatever. So I'll put it there. You guys can download it for yourselves and keep it. And it'll just be the stream with the time and the date on it in the code.
Cool.
Okay?
Cool. I like it. I like it.
There you go. So anyway, looks like we've settled on a poker game that we're going to experiment with, which is good. Vance will probably join in on this, you know, if he hears about it.
Well, on a Friday night, that's one thing. You could, any guest that you have on during the week, say, oh, don't forget our poker game on Friday night. Show up.
Well, there, you know what? There's the kill two birds with one stone. That's how we expand it, right? So from 8 to 10 or whatever, we do the regular call-in show. And then at 10 o'clock, now it's in the late time, we play our poker game. How about that?
Well, there you go.
Two separate broadcasts.
Yeah, and the guest is more than welcome to join. They can be an extra player if they have the stuff, right?
Absolute. Captain Trips, I'm sure he could join us maybe once or twice, you know, get everybody involved.
We'll bust out a good bottle of liquor and just kind of relax and have a good old poker game, you know, just like you do in the real world.
I do miss my old poker nights, I have to admit. Yeah, this will be cool.
If it's the Friday before payday, it may be cheap liquor.
Well, I hear that.
As long as it gets your tongue loose. Or
if you're in the Ozarks, you got moonshine abundant.
There you go.
Yeah. And it also is a good supplement to throw in the gas tank to give you a little bit more horsepower, too.
And do you know how much moonshine costs these days?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it in the gas tank right now. It's going for a lot of money, Boy.
Yeah, gas is expensive. Moonshine is like gold.
More expensive, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like, you know those little mason jars that we used to be able to get? Somebody offered me one of those for $25 here in Georgia.
Whoa, dude, they're fitty here, and that's just for the normal stuff. And if you want something like sassafras, it's Dude, you don't even want to know what IPA court.
No flavors. I'm talking about just the mason jar, $25.
The
no,
plain, regular quart size mason jar, $50. When I first moved here, it was you could get some for $35. But wow.
Well, it was. It was only $10.
Stores.
It was only $10.
Liquor store.
Hang on a second. It was only $10 here, Christy. It was only $10 here, Christy, just a couple of weeks ago. Like, or let me pull that back. Earlier this year, it was $10 here.
From the Shiners themselves?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
That's what I'm telling you.
Damn.
From a guy with a steel. You know what I mean?
See, they have too many middlemen, you know, runners and stuff and transport and things like that. So that's
That price
but
went to 25.
Even the one that's like down in the holler, that was still, and it was good quality. That's why I chose his.
I got you.
But 50, yeah,
20,
a quart.
25 now. So the idea is, Nature Boy, it'd be like $100 a gallon if you were trying to pour that in your tank. Is what?
Yeah,
what
that's
I'm saying.
What it is. $100 a gallon. Yeah.
So, and that's
right. But it will plugs clean.
Oh yeah.
It will make a difference clean. In your engine. If from a physical standpoint, it will make a difference in your engine.
It'll clean your engine out. It'll clean you out. Yeah.
Oh, it put me in the hospital.
I only use it for medicine. I, you know, it goes into my tinctures. Yeah.
Good food, great. The closest thing is my dad lives outside of Georgia, and years ago, I was at my sister's house, and my brother-in-law. He's from Georgia. He's a good old boy, nice guy, smart guy, but he's Georgia. And he said, "Hey, you know," pulled out a couple of quarts of moonshine, and says, "You know, hey, you want a shot?" And I looked, and one of it was actually grape shine. So it was the same level of alcohol, but made from grapes. And the closest thing I did was smell it.
Mm.
Smell it.
And, yep.
And at that, I'm like, oh, no, no. And he just smiled, huckled, poured himself a shot, and took a shot of the moonshine, put the jars on the lid, and just put it back there in his cupboard. You know, and I'm like, wow, no, I'm good with that. That would not be a good experience in the life of Nature Boy.
So he didn't show you the peach stuff that they sell to the tourists then, huh? Because
this was shine. This was real shine.
Yes,
bro.
The peach.
But that's
the
thing.
You know, I'm not a drinker, but when you know the guy, I'll always like have a sip, or you know, because they want, oh, try this, and I don't know. I think it's kind of delicious, but I'm a nature girl. So that's expected.
No, but there's a moonshine that they have a peach flavor in here, is what I'm telling you, because Georgia peach, right? And
right.
It's not like a peach wine or something like that, Nature Boy. I'm telling you, it's moonshine, but it's got a peach flavor and smell. Well, actually, I can't attest to the flavor. I haven't tried it, but I have smelled it.
They make peach here, and it's delicious. I tried it.
Mm.
You know what's a joke is they sell the legal version of moonshine, and you can't get it in California, but I think you can still get Nevada, and it's 151.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's 150 proof, and they're calling it moonshine. And I'm sorry, man. You know, I'm a stickler at language.
Nah.
Shine is shine. Okay, it's what is it? 190 or 180 proof is shine?
I think at 180 you can start calling it shine.
Yeah, you can't call it at 150. That's 151.
That's another thing. They dilute it and stuff. So, like, some of my old local friends, I mean, people go to blows for that, you know?
Right.
But then they go somewhere else and the price, it's funny. I'm glad that I don't have to do that.
Here you have an ongoing situation where the local breweries are now getting into liquor. and trying to come up with there. So you got J.D. Smith Shine available in all the local ABC stores.
Right, but they have to abide by the government and their ingredient, and then they have to have a lower alcohol, you know, 40% or 35, I think it is here.
You can get the higher percents in this state. The thing is, though, you've got, on the moonshine end, you've got two ways of making it. You've got the guys that make wine, and then they boost it.
Okay.
Then you've got the guys that actually make grain alcohol. You know, they're actually making a whiskey or a, and you've got that now. It's coming together. All these boutique beer breweries suddenly want to get on the liquor kick.
Right.
So it's just, it's not enjoyable here anymore unless you go to that guy that you used to get it for at $35 a gallon.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah, but
so two totally different things. And I wouldn't drink one of these mass-produced ABC sold moonshines because it's just not moonshine.
Right. No,
it's 151.
Yeah. No, like I said, I think it only starts being moonshine at 180, which is 90% alcohol, honestly.
And then that's probably not very good for you.
No, but you know, it's got its uses. So, you know.
I'll be honest, I had a friend of mine up in the Hickory area and I took him a bottle of Osbach, which is German brandy. And, you know, brandy is nothing more than wine. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, can you make this? He said, give me a week. And next week went by his place and damned if he hadn't made it. I did the same thing with a bottle of Grey Goose. I said, look, here's wheat vodka. Can you make this? He said, give me a week. He had a batch of Grey Goose. I mean, the guy was amazing. Wow.
I can't wait to learn that trade, but I'm not there yet myself. Although I do make a mean soda fermented, and that's just basically one step away from alcohol. You know, I just let it ferment longer if I wanted alcohol.
Right.
Do you remember the first non-returnable bottles that came out for soft drinks, the 28-ounce ones with the metal cap that had the little pieces on the bottom of it that were crimped around the bottle top?
A long time ago.
Milk jug?
Yeah.
Old school milk jug?
Made root beer. And he would make the root beer and put it in those bottles and re-crimp the tops and let it ferment. We were out one night partying. We decided to go home, and my friend goes, oh, you got to try this stuff if you like root beer. He reaches under the sink, pulls this thing out, and it's this brown conglomeration of something in that bottle, and it didn't look like it was. He turned it one time. He turned the bottle upside down and let the big block of sludge go to the other end, and he turned it right side up. Nothing violent, very smooth.
Yeah.
He went to crack the top, and when he did, that bottle exploded.
Yeah, I do that all the time with my fresh juice fermentations.
We were cleaning up that kitchen for 3 hours. It went everywhere.
Sticky it's a process up. Opening.
Yeah, you basically have to have a ballistic suit on and, you know, a shield.
I open it pictures now. I have one on the bottom. I'll crack the top a little and throw the other one on top so it's like a container. And then after it calms down, you know, I mean, I'll let the air come out slowly, you know, just a crack, crack, crack. But then when it's time to just fully open it, then it's all contained in there, and then I just use that same pitcher to pour the explosion back in the bottle. But there literally is a video of that exact thing happening to me when I did my orange fermentation, and I was showing the videos of how easy it was to do the soda, so of course I had the camera on. I'm like, okay, let's open it, and it just went everywhere. The kitchen was, it was fun and a little gross because, you know, that sludge, right?
Yeah. Like this blob of something that was living at one time and it just died in the center of the bottle, kind of in suspended animation.
Was it delicious, though?
It's good, yeah. We had another bottle down there and we took it outside and pretty much set up a little perimeter in case it went off. But, yeah, it was excellent. It was the best root beer I've ever had. But, boy, that stuff was potent.
Wonderful.
Take out a bridge.
Nice. Well, anyway, we have gone just a bit over time, so I don't know if you want to close it out at this point, BP, or what?
it's up to you.
All right, well, I gotta find out what's going on with barking puppies in the other room and all that, so I think I'm gonna call it here, but let's let everybody get their last words in for the interesting discussion. We started out with music. We talked about door dashing for a minute. We talked about alcohol and how it can be made and how it shouldn't be made and how it should be made and what the prices are near you. And a few other things. So it's been a discussion, that's for sure. And we didn't touch politics at all tonight. I feel good
Yay!
About that. So, no politics. Wow.
And I think that's a first.
Yeah.
Happy puppies, dead chicken, asshole goats.
Christy missed a show.
I'm an asshole too. Yeah. I didn't say that. Did that.
I didn't say that. I'm not even mad. It's fine.
No, but thank you for understanding. And it just, I'm sorry.
No big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal.
I did it. And what can I do? I'm sorry.
We'll hit it twice as hard next week. I'm sure people missed you, though, because they always, you know, when I've turned around and said, look, I can't do this tonight for whatever reason, why wasn't Christy on? They always send me messages, and it was like, look, this time it wasn't me with a headache or something.
I had messages on my phone, too, like, hey, you doing the show tonight? And, of course, I didn't get them till after, but yeah sorry. Thank you.
No big deal, but they missed you, so you'll get Christy next week. I don't know what Nature Boy's got planned for next week, but also on Sunday, I'm not sure what's going on with Chris. Got to find that out, but I do know that Aaron's show will be live at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, so that's happening for sure. We may go back to the Monday schedule soon, although I got some recordings to do. Jack, if he gets kicked off of YouTube again, I'm sure he'll keep doing the show with me.
he got kicked off?
Of course he did.
Wow. Already.
Well, but not permanently.
So he's still back, though?
He's going to be back on, but he got, you know, he got the slap on the wrist, the 1 week disabled, can't upload, can't do anything. That happened to him, and he's like, I don't know. I said something about the vaccine. I don't know. I said, yeah, exactly. So that's where that went.
Wow.
But anyway, so he should be on Thursday, and I don't know what the rest of the plans are. Mike Swanson will be back next week, and I know we'll do this again next week, but a whole lot of time in between now and then, it seems like. So, BP, should we give people their final thoughts here?
Yeah, but before everybody gets gone, we need to get together sometime and see if we can, at a time that's convenient for everybody, preferably on the weekend, because my work week is hectic, but we need to get together and see about getting this poker thing off the ground.
All right, well, if we all stay in this conversation on Skype, we can just put messages here, we can all see it. So, it'll come up.
Right.
Yeah, we'll
I'm here. I'm not in a hurry. I don't need to eat. I really don't. I'm serious. So
I know. I still haven't eaten yet tonight. So that's another chore that I have to do when I get off work. I mean, sorry, not off work, but off the call.
There you go.
Are
so.
We that bad? This is work.
No, it's not work.
Not today.
I jumble words. That's just a deficiency of my mental capacity. If you know
capacita.
What I mean. Capacita.
Respect my authority.
All right, well, I was going to say, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. We'll call it a week during our transition phase for what we do here on Friday nights on the Ocelli Effect. And don't forget, next week we're going to have the conversation again. It continues. Something that I have really looked forward to on these Fridays. So everybody, take care of your neighbors, support your local food bank. And Christy, any party thoughts?
Oh, I think I already said him. I'm an asshole. I'm sorry, and thank you, and I love you all, and I'm looking forward to poker.
All right. Good boy. Close us out.
Well, it feels good to be back amongst friends. Thank you for letting me join the phone call. And as always, support your local food banks. It's very important right now. Support your community. Put the love out there. And support the Ocelli Effect. A little bit here, a little bit there. Occasionally, all the listeners out there, 20,000 a week. You know, every once in a while, if one of you could just be blessed to buy Chuck a cup of coffee, it'll help us continue to put this on year after year after year. God bless everybody, all the listeners out there. Thank you for tuning in, and y'all have a good next week.
So there you have it, the voice of the network right there telling you that, and I do appreciate all of you for tuning in, and hopefully we'll continue to evolve, and things will just simply get better, not just on the show, on the network, and among the people on the call, but it would be nice to see us all just do better, no matter where we are or who we are. The Ocelli Effect is finished for the week. So remember this, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.